How's everybody's week going? Good? Sounds like everybody had a good week. Everyone's all enthused. You know, one of the things I'm going to talk about tonight is, you know, we try to make sure that on down the line that we're all catching the same thing. And, you know, for at least 3 years now, I have been overturned on fire for God through Iraq, not through Afghanistan, because that was when I came back, but through Iraq. I spent 15 months over there, fired up in the presence of God, turning people's lives around. They relied on me to be there. And tonight, I just want you guys to realize the power and the authority that we carry. Real quick, go to Matthew chapter 9. I got to get there too. You know, how many of us this week, did anybody raise anybody from the dead? Heal the sick? I'm not putting my hands up. I'm just, I didn't raise anybody from the dead yet. Cleanse a leper? Cast out demons? Heal the blind? All right, so we're all on the same page. Okay, we're all right there. Chapter 9, verse 35 says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Okay, we're going to jump over to 10, 5 through 8 real quick. Chapter 10, 5 through 8. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them. Do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. You know, I can't sit here and tell you I know all of your backgrounds. I can't tell you that I know where you came from. I can tell you I know where I came from. Okay, I came out of a place where I lived in a broken home. I raised my sister as we grew up. My dad lived somewhere else. By the time I moved in with my dad, because my mom was so sick of me that they got to the point where she couldn't handle me, because I had too much of an attitude. By the time I hit a certain age, now I'm going over it real quick, okay? By the time I hit a certain age, my dad went to jail. I made a decision to go through high school, to finish high school. Okay? I got heavy into drugs after that. Got into drugs, got into drinking, doing all kinds of stupid junk. And it finally took up until the time I was 24, 25 years old to say, you know what, Lord? I sell out. Whatever you want to do with me, I am yours. It took me to age 24. To realize that God had a plan and a mission for me to do. Now, I grew up in church. Okay, and mind you, with all that stuff, all that junk I just told you, I grew up in church. We can't even begin to say, you know, sometimes when I'm talking and it's just me and God, and I want to say, thank you, Lord, thank you. I don't even think that I can express the thank you that he deserves. He deserves so much more than just a thank you that sometimes I don't even feel worthy to say that. Freely you received, freely give. He has given us power and authority. He's given us freedom. If you're really starting to step into other areas, then you've received joy. That means you could walk into somewhere and immediately people go, what's wrong with this guy? Because when I walk into work at 5:45 in the morning, almost every morning, I make people sick. Because they come in hungover, and I come in with a big, huge smile on my face. And it ain't because I'm an early sunshine. Okay, I'm not all sunshine when you wake me up in the morning. Ask Brianna. She woke me up punching me in the head today. Okay? When we start to receive, we have to make ourselves able to pour it back out. And the only way that we can pour back out is that if we stay filled in it. We have to know what God has given us. We have to know what the Holy Spirit is pouring into us so that we can pour it back out. Whether it's joy, whether it's love. I'll tell you what, because from the first time you say, Lord, I'm yours, take me, do what you will with me. From that time on, he begins to pour things into you. Whether it starts with love, which is probably what it is for most people, because you begin to see that and you begin to feel it and you begin to go, oh my Lord, thank you. And you just feel this pressure release, whether it's love, okay, maybe it's joy. Maybe the first time you asked the Lord to come into your heart and you just felt overwhelmed, you just had to laugh. Laugh with somebody. It didn't matter. From the first time you received, we have to begin to start to pour out. If we're not pouring out and we begin to keep everything to ourselves, okay, then all we're doing is allowing for mildew and fungus to take over inside of us. Because it's gonna eat away. We take from our leaders, we take from people, and they pour into us, and they pour into us, and they pour into us. And we should be able to step, as soon as we step out, as soon as we go into certain areas, we should be able to go, boom, and just pour into people. I love to walk into my workplace in the morning and watch people's faces. I love it. Because I go in, and I'm the only one, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? What's up, First Sergeant? And people are like, what is wrong with this guy? But they know. And when they ask me, I tell them, you know. You know what's wrong with me. I'm turned up. I'm fired up. I can't keep my mouth shut. Sometimes it's hard to gain my composure at work. I'll wait till lunch break and wait till a guy asks me some ridiculous question. And all of a sudden, I just slam down a tidal wave of what God's pouring into me. We have a power and authority that people in our schools, our workplaces, and every place that we come in contact with, we have a power and authority that we have to pour out. If we're not pouring these things out and we're keeping them to ourselves, then we're basically being stingy. You know, if I made $1 million, but I didn't do anything with it, okay, the only thing I did was take care of what I needed to take care of. I just took care of my bills. I got $1 million, and all I'm going to do is just take care of what I need to take care of, and that's it. I'm not going to invest it. I'm not going to put it into anything else. I'm just going to do what I got to do with it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read. I'll talk to God. I'll hear him. I'll see what he wants me to do. I'll decide if I want to do what he wants me to do. And I'm just going to sit on it. What's going to happen? That's going to dwindle. All that money, all that presence is going to begin to level out. That fire is going to begin to level out. We have to keep ourselves turned up. We have to know the power and the authority that is in us. Our mission as men and women of God is to take the fight to the enemy in a mighty and powerful way. It starts with being able to do the works anywhere we go. You know, as a soldier, you guys know I don't work in a soft skilled job. I work in a fighting job. I take the fight to the enemy. That is my job. People ask me what I do over in Iraq. I walk around Iraq until I get shot at, and then I engage the enemy. We don't have to do that. We, as young people, should be setting the front line. It shouldn't be our parents. You know what? Our parents should be looking at us and envying what we got in the presence of God. They should see our prayer life and go, wow, I want what they got. I want to have what Brennan has in his prayer life. How come every time Brennan prays, he's thrown on the floor violently and goes into seizures? These are the things that people should see in us. These are as natural Christian things, these should be happening. We should be able to step into areas of our lives and correct things and turn things up and go, you know what, Lord, I need more here. I find myself a lot of times praying, Lord, put me on the front line. I want to be on the front line. I don't want to be that second wave. I don't want to be that second wave that has it easy. I don't want that. I want to be on the front line. I want to be the one that stands there with everybody else behind me, and I go, come on. Let's go, devil. I'm ready. Wherever you want to put me, work, Iraq, Afghanistan, send me to a school. Send me to another job. Because it doesn't matter where I go. I only have one mandate. I only have one job. I only have one mission in life. And that's to do God's will and what he has proclaimed over me. We should be the front line. You know what? I'm going to even take a step out and tell you right now. We should be the front line of this church. It should be us. It should be Pastor Chris, bam, and then every single one of us standing right behind him, lined up, ready to battle, fired up. All the old people going, holy crap, look out for the young people. Give them a little bit of distance. That's how it should be. Why? Because we are the fire starters. We set the blaze. We set the tone. I can't remember how many times, you know, as a young guy, you know, 16 and 17 years old, I was completely out of control. Completely out of control. I was a football player, a wrestler, track, anything violent, that's what I wanted to do. Whatever it was, I wanted to be in the violence. And I know girls the same way, because don't let these two right here, soccer players are mean. Okay, my niece is a soccer player, and she will tell you, they go around throwing elbows and doing all kinds of crazy junk. You know what, as young people, that's exactly how we should be in the spiritual realm. We should step into a place, and the violence in the spiritual realm should crank way up. As soon as we step in, I'm not talking about stepping in and going, Lord, let your presence fall. Let it fall. Not even talking about that. I'm talking about as soon as I enter a room, I want to hear demons screaming. Get out, get out. He's here. In order to do these things, we have to constantly be walking in faith. Okay, one of the things that God poured out onto me is walking in faith doesn't mean when I am ready, Holy Spirit, you can move. It means that everywhere we are, the presence of God is with us. Everywhere, every minute. Walking in faith is literally, as soon as your brain begins to come off focus or begins to come off God, you begin to go, wait, and begin to get yourself set again. Because in everything we do, our main focus should be what God has for us. What is His plan? If we walked in faith and we begin to move and feel God's presence and hear His voice and see what He wants us to do everywhere that we went, can you imagine the impact? Can you imagine the impact we would have? We would walk into a store, and I'd be going to get some chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream because I like ice cream. Okay, and as we walked into the store, you would see people just begin to look. Go, man, what's wrong with that guy? And if it was my family, then the whole store should stop and go, what just happened? Something's different in here. Something's not right. It's changed. I don't know what it is yet. And as I turn down the aisle, and I got my family with me, and Brianna, she's punched me in the leg or something. They should see it and be, I want what they got. I don't know what it is. I want what they got. We need to talk to them. We need to go talk to them because there's something different about them. I think a lot of times and I know this for a fact of myself, okay? And I'm gonna throw myself to the wolves right now. 15, 16 years old, fired up, came from summer camp, burning, go to school and like a mouse. Like, what's up, man? Hey. Why, you know, we have so much power and authority, we should be able to step into our schools, and as soon as I step foot on campus, it should be like a nuclear blast. Or as soon as I step into the store, it should be like a 500-pound bomb. It should just blow up in that place. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that, but it looks like a big refrigerator falling from the sky. That's a big bomb. It starts with being able to hear and see what you need to do or say at any given moment. I think earlier I talked about one of my points said, you know, walking in faith isn't when we want to walk in faith. It isn't on a Wednesday when I'm like, hey, I'm going to youth. I'm going to walk in faith for like the next 3 hours. Oh, time's up. Rolling out. If we walked in faith every minute, think about what you would begin to see and hear. You would walk into a store and be like, hey, I want you to go, and I want you to go talk to that person on aisle 10. They're going to be looking at chili. Chili, Lord? Chili? All right, Lord. I'll go talk to that guy about chili. I mean about you in the chili. You know, I've had a firsthand experience of this. We were going into Walmart. And before we went into Walmart, I broke out my anointing oil. And I began to rub my hands. And Jennifer wanted to punch me because she's over there, like, getting Brianna out, getting the diaper bag. And I'm like, give me 1 second, baby. Give me 1 second. Hold on. And I begin to pray, Lord, I want to do your will. I want to hear your voice. I want to see what you want me to see in this place. Before we go in here, Father, begin to prep people's hearts. Begin to set people apart. And allow me to hear your voice. Let me hear your voice, Father, and what you want me to do and where you want me to move. If you want me to stand still, I'll stand still for 2 hours. As long as I do what you want me to do. And I prayed it over my family, and I prayed it over Jennifer, and I prayed it over Brianna, and Josiah, he wasn't here yet. And we walk into Walmart, and I don't even know why. We were in this toy aisle, and we're sitting there messing around, and then all of a sudden, Jennifer's like, "Are you good?" I was like, "No, I'm not. Hold on a second." So we just start looking at other stuff, looking at different toys. And she knew what happened. She knew that we couldn't leave the aisle yet. And all of a sudden, we had a family come up and start talking to us. We didn't even initiate contact. They came up and started talking to us about one of the toys we were looking at. And then we just started to talk back and forth. And all of a sudden, it got to the point where I didn't even have to ask or give my number. They asked me for my number. And said, "Hey, we really want to hang out with you guys." That's just a small thing God can do. That's just a small thing of listening and hearing. That is very, very important in everything that we do. We should be able to step into anywhere and be able to hear his voice. In hearing his voice, okay, you have to stay prayed up. If you're not prayed up, and you begin to feel like, you know, I should have talked to God at least for a minute today, then you got some issues. Okay, a minute's good. That's a good way to start. 10 minutes, a good way to start out. It's a good way to start out. But I'm going to tell you something. There's 168 hours in a week. How much of your time do you actually think that you spend? And I'm not looking for answers here. I don't want anybody to shout it out, because even if I told you, when I hear my own, can I probably spend anywhere from 10 to, you know, even if I had spent 10 hours a week praying, there's 168 hours in a week. How much time do I spend with God? How much of my time do I set aside and go, you know what, Lord, I'm yours. Yeah, let's go out. Let's raise the dead. You know what, Pastor Chris calls me and I hate it when I got plans. He calls me and he's like, "Hey man, I'm going out Friday night I'm going out." And there's times when I'm like, I'm going with you, man. And there's times when I'm like, crap, I already got plans, man. I would love to go, but I can't. It honestly breaks my heart when I don't go. It hurts me. I literally feel my heart squeeze and just go, oh, because I know I can't sit back. I can't sit back and watch a generation die. I can't. I can't do it. It took me 24 years to find the fire of God. It took me 24 years to find out what his presence feels like. I am not going to let a generation die. It's not going to happen. I can't take it. I can't walk into a place at work where people put their lives on the line for years and not know a thing and not know a single, just even a fraction of what God's love feels like. I can't do it. I can't. You know, the most important and probably easiest part is if we just begin to open our mouths. Because a lot of us, you know what, I'll be honest with you. I'm a big mouth. I could walk into anywhere, and I could literally get some attention. Okay, now I don't do it on purpose. That's just my personality. That's who I am. I've been in BNOC phase one for 2 weeks. And all 2 weeks, the first day everybody knew my name. And I kept going home to Jennifer going, man, today they made me the platoon sergeant. Today they made me the first sergeant. Because I don't have a problem opening my mouth. I really don't. I really don't. Whatever you want to talk about. Whatever. I don't care. I'll listen to you talk about Halo. I'll listen to you talk about Call of Duty. I'll listen to you talk about guns, weights, sports, dancing, washing dishes, laundry, I don't know. Soccer. Okay. I don't care. But you know what? I strongly feel like the things that come out of your mouth, they show what your passion is. The things that you speak about, that's what your passion is about. If you have a problem where everywhere you go, you can't help but talk about football, that's your thing. I got to talk about football all day. Pittsburgh Steelers, Cardinals. Don't like either one. Whatever your passion is, that's what you're going to talk about. And if your passion isn't finding more or opening up your mouth to the people around you that are dying, because they are dying. Okay? This is one of the moments that turned my life around. Okay, it made me sell out. One of the moments. Okay, I went to Afghanistan, and I wasn't a part of this church yet. My wife Jennifer, she started coming to the church while I was deployed. Okay, but I'll tell you, every day I was praying. Only difference was, I was praying, swearing, drinking. I was about as lukewarm as it could get, okay? But the point is that I knew the truth. I knew what I had. I knew what it takes to get into heaven and hell. My grandma's a pastor. My parents took me to church. I knew what it takes. I know what it takes. Going on our last mission. And one of the guys in the tent, he's running a battery over to somebody. He hands that battery off, and he turns around and starts running back, and boom! Done. Gone. Gone that fast. From taking a battery to somebody on a hilltop. And I was across on the other side of this river, and I heard the explosion, and my heart sank. And it literally felt like, oh, something's not right. Something's not right. And then it came in over the radio. We lost one of ours. And I went back, and I found out who it was. And the only thing I could do, only thing I could do was put my face in my hands and just weep. And I just cried. Because I never opened my mouth. I never spoke to him about what I knew. I never told him that God loves him. I never told him that Jesus died on the cross for him. I don't even know if he knew that. Something as simple in our minds as Jesus died on the cross. I don't know if he knew that. I don't know where he is. I don't. And I've had about 5 to 6 other friends that have all passed, some in the military, some not in the military. And those are guys that I never got to say, hey, you know, this is what I have. You need this. You need this. This is real. This is the only thing that's real that you have. 1,000 years is like a blink of an eye to God. You think your 70 years on earth is even, what is that, maybe a half a blink? Not even that. 1,000 years is like a blink of an eye. And we can't even step into a place where we find ourselves. I mean, we should run. We should run our schools. We should run our workplaces. These are places that we should step into, and immediately our mouths should open and we should begin to speak life, and all of a sudden miracles start happening. And then people are going, oh my gosh, that person's the real deal. That whoever that is, they are the real deal. I've never seen that before. I've never seen that on anybody. I've never seen that on some young person. Something that we have to grasp. We are, okay, as young people, a deadly, deadly threat. Okay, we are the violence of the kingdom. We have to be able to set up an ambush that the devil he's just like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what to do with these young people. They're completely out of control. They're turning their schools upside down. Jack Britt, thousands got saved yesterday. What am I supposed to do with that? I walked into Walmart and all these people, there's all of a sudden some young person, some 15-year-old was throwing it down, and then all of a sudden these people started coming up and people were getting healed. And what do you think people are going to say? Probably going to call you weird. Probably going to ask you if you're drunk. What else have you heard? Weird and drunk. That's the ones I've gotten. You're weird, man. You're drunk. Are you drunk? Yeah, I am. I'm filled. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm overtaken. I'm turned upside down. John 15, 1 through 3. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. We have to get to a place. I'm gonna tell you right now. I've never, a while ago I used to. All I could think about was, I want to be a great leader. I want to help Pastor Chris build this youth group up to thousands, and I want to take over the Crown Coliseum, and Pastor Chris will be there throwing it down, and I'll be right there going, yeah, yeah, like one of those UFC fighters. They always walk in, you always got the guy hopping around them, Those are things that I used to be real passionate about. You know what my passion is now? As I matured, and as Pastor Chris matured, and me and my wife, we just followed him. And just move where his heart wants to move him. I'll tell you right now, whether we have thousands, whether one day we see a million or hundreds of thousands, whether we see it, you know what I'm going to tell you right now? It doesn't matter if we preach in front of thousands. But I'll tell you right now, what does matter is that we preach to 14 and 14 go and they take it out to thousands. Because if that impact begins to spread and you guys take the fire that Pastor Chris throws into us every week and the things that we hear from Pastor every week, and you come to your leaders and you go, you know what? I'm fired up. I can't contain it right now. During praise and worship, people better give me a bubble because I'm going to need a bubble. You don't want to get in my safety space today because my bubble is... Whew. If you take the fire that is poured into you every week and you take it out, you're going to reach. I promise you right now, you will reach. And you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. People are going to laugh at you. I've been laughed at. And you know what? I'm a very intimidating person. I'm not going to lie.